Okay, like I said, this is an article I came across the last week, and I was really excited about it because probably because I was an economics undergraduate, and I love looking at the economy and watching where it's going, and intriguing because we're changing so quickly today. So when I read this article, I sat down and I said, wow, this is impactful for me. And then I read it again. I said, I think this is impactful for everybody. I think it's really a great article for people to be enlightened about the information, because if you're out there trying to get people to join you in the network marketing realm, you're offering them a business opportunity. And it's important to understand what other opportunities exist in our world today, in our country, specifically in the United States of America, and what's happening in our economic trends in terms of employment. So if you can understand this article and understand the information I give you today, it'll be really be helpful for you in communicating with other people some facts about what's going on in our economy so that they can look at this in a different light. They can look at doing Manatech in a very different light than they would perhaps because they see other opportunities out there that they want to pursue, blah, 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 blah. You need to be aware of what are the economic trends in our country today, which makes network marketing a really plus. And it's a plus for everyone. It's a plus for people that are, you know, have college degrees, people who don't have college degrees, anyone out there, because depending on what level of the economy they fit in, they're going to need to be subsidizing their income in a lot of the categories. And that's what we're going to be understanding today and why that's happening, and comparing it to the Industrial Revolution, where we saw the same kind of, you know, kind of huge lift in technological growth over a short period of time, yet we still stayed at full employment and people were prospering magnanimously. Well, that's not happening today. People aren't prospering magnanimously today. We may be at full employment, and everybody likes to claim how great that is. Well, it's great, except for the fact that when you have 55% of the population who are living paycheck to paycheck and barely getting by, that's not a good sign of where we are economically. And why isn't what happened in the Industrial Revolution the same thing that's happening today? There's a dramatic difference between the two, and that's what we're going to discuss today in this reviewing this article. The article is called Tech is Splitting the U.S. Workforce in Two. That's the title of the article. It was found in New York Times, written by Eduardo Porter, a really intelligent economist. And I just want to, again, share with you the information out of that article. You can obviously secure that yourself by going online. And so the article talks about, first of all, understanding our current dichotomy and our economic trends. And what he did is he just picked a city. Our cities are basically the same across the country. I mean, there are different industries in different cities that are particular to them that are more attractive. But this is a classic town, and he picked Phoenix, Arizona, okay? So that's what he picked out Phoenix, Arizona. He said, let's analyze what's going on in a typical city. And he looked at the high-tech industry, okay? So you look at Arizona, Intel, they have a $7 billion nanometer chip plant going up in Chandler. It's called a 7 billion 7-nanometer chip plant going up in Chandler. So that's a huge, huge investment going on. Axon, the maker of Taser, which are the Taser guns that they make, you know, and the autonomous drones, those kind of things that they do. They do different. They have different things besides just Tasers that they're making. That's another company in Scottsdale, and that company right now is snatching up talent from Silicon Valley as automation skyrockets. So they're looking for a higher quality employee that is going to be more productive in terms of dollars per hour, and they're attracting a ton of talent there because it might be more attractive than living in Silicon Valley, because California is a very difficult place to live because of cost of living. And then you're seeing also a lot of new startups in the fields that, like the autonomous drones and blockchain, a lot of other high technology companies are flocking to Arizona as well. And ASU, Arizona State University, is churning out a lot of engineers. So you see all this growth coming out of these high-tech industries that are attracted to city environments that are more attractive than perhaps, you know, like parts of California and other places that are really very expensive to live. But despite all of this, you know, high-tech, you know, employment opportunities coming in, The majority of new jobs in Phoenix are in what they call workaday service industries. And I had never heard the word workaday before, or maybe I had, but I never looked it up. But I actually looked up the definition, and the definition of workaday is kind of depressing to me. It says, not special, unusual, or interesting in any way, comma, ordinary. So it kind of sounds like blasé, blah, 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 right? That's what workaday means, kind of blasé, nothing really exciting about it. Service industries like healthcare, hospitality, retail, and in all of those industries, we know that pay there is very mediocre, and it continues to be mediocre. It's not going up anywhere near what we see pay in other high-tech arena is. So there's this dramatic shift going on here, and it's not a shift. It's a diversity shift. It's called a divergence between pay in one category of our economy versus another. But the problem being that all the employment in the high-tech area is limited because that's where the high productivity exists, so there's a lot of automation going on there. So number two of my outline goes into forecasts of America where robots do all the work and humans live off of a yet-to-be-invented welfare program. So they're kind of looking at this, well, we're going to finally robotize all of the United States of America, and we're going to all be ended up on some sophisticated welfare program because we can't work as efficiently and as effectively as robots. So automation flips people without college education out of manufacturing jobs into tasks with meager wages. And that means when you look at our manufacturing concerns, there's a lot of robotics and all things that are going out there. And you guys probably remember about 10 years ago when Mary Jo built a presentation for Manatech that talked about robots replacing all the jobs, right? I mean, that wasn't very long ago. And it was like from some I read an article by a futuristic guy, you know, I don't remember his name, but I remember the presentation I built, and it's the idea that we are seeing displacement in our employment. Well, today we're in the midst of it happening at an accelerated rate, because when you look at the two worlds that we have, you have this high-tech area that, you know, where hundreds of thousands of dollars, all these people are making hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then the less educated are in hotels and restaurants, nursing homes, where there's a much smaller profit per employee. And the profit per employee is basically what they call productivity. What kind of income per person is being made? That's your productivity level. And the only way to keep all those lower level jobs in place and having even employment exist there is really keeping the pay very low, because they can't justify putting robots in there because the cost of the automation isn't justified by the price that's being paid in. So even economists today are now getting worried about this new configuration of work, that automation's changing a lot. And then we get into robots versus productivity of workers. Again, recent research says robots are reducing demand for workers, thus weighing down wages, which have been rising more slowly than productivity. In other words, the pay that's going out is a very slow pace of increase versus productivity that we get from, you know, other levels of jobs. Some economists concluded that use of robots explains the decline in the share of national income going to workers' paychecks over the past three decades. And I actually put a chart in the outline, which you'll see in a minute, that shows you the kind of level of pay increase that we're seeing in different areas of the economy. Because the workers are pushed to the bottom level of the economy, productivity remains sluggish. So we're not getting, because what all that says, it doesn't mean that you as a human being are less productive. That's not what we're saying here. What we're saying is that because we're pushing so many workers to the lower end of the economy to take these low-paying jobs, of course, productivity means how many dollars a worker throws off per hour of work, that level of productivity. And when you're at retail, there's not much you can do to increase that level of productivity. When you're building high-end equipment, there's a whole other level of it because of the price that you charge for the equipment that you're building, the high-tech stuff. So the productivity goes off the charts, but not for low-end, which is where a majority of the population is working today. And an economist at MIT, he said, the view that we should not worry about any of these and follow technology to wherever it will go is insane. In other words, We can't just ride this wave of technology thinking that this is all going to be self-correcting, because it's not. It's something we need to grapple with as a society. It's a thing we need to grapple with as a community if we plan on having any kind of equal opportunity for people in this country, which is what this country was founded on. And so let's take a look at where the productivity is high. If you look in semiconductor companies, Intel, NXP, some of those, and again, he's looking at the Phoenix area. This is true across the country, different high-tech industries in different locations. But he took Phoenix as a cross-section. And he said, you know, look at the semiconductor companies from 2010 to 2017. The productivity, which is the dollar value of their production, per, right? What's their productivity, rose by 2.1% every single year of the people in the semiconductor. And the average pay in that industry today is currently at $27.90 per week, which is like $145,000 a year in the semiconductor industry. The number of jobs in that industry aren't very many. In 2017, they employed 16,600 in the semiconductor companies in Phoenix, 10,000 fewer than 3 decades ago. So all that high income level is going to fewer people than 3 decades, at 30 years ago. So you've seen a 10,000 drop-off in numbers of employees in that industry. Now, the industry is exploding. It's one of the fastest growing industries, right? Yet you're seeing 10,000 fewer employees than three decades ago. So why is that happening? Because they're relying on artificial intelligence and automation to increase the throughput, producing more objects or you know, production of whatever they're building. Sorry, is that cold coming out? Lid, can you get me some more water? So the yeah, bottled water is good, thanks. So anyway, so you see this huge dramatic shift in terms of employment, because what's happening is they're relying on automation, AI, you know, robotics, all these kind of things. But because those jobs, their productivity, i.e. the value of the production per employee is so off the charts high, they can afford to implement all that automation and still save tons of money. You look at Axon, which is the one that makes taser and body cameras. Robots make 4 times as many taser cartridges as 80 workers did 10 years ago. So you see the displacement occurs in that high-tech industry as well. In all high-tech industries, it's the same. Aircraft manufacturing, they employed 4,234 people in 2017 compared to 4,028. Now, their employment didn't go down, at least, as we saw in the semiconductor industry. But to think that over a 7-year period of time, they saw less than 200 people, or just over 200 people being added to a 4,000-person payroll, that's incredible, comparing to what they're putting out, right? Computer systems design services, this is one where they actually have 11,000 people in 2017, up from 7,000 in 2010. But still, productivity was high there, but it was, they still had a greater level of growth. But notice that employees are kind of drifting off to the side. We're the sluggish part of the draining the economy, and now AI and robots and artificial intelligence and automation is all getting involved in displacement, especially in the highly productive jobs, because that's where it makes most sense economically. And I gave you this chart that came out of the article, and you can peek at it. It's not the easiest thing to understand, but it's a comparison of 1990 to 2017, which is a 27-year period of time. It's a long time, almost 30 years, right? And you look at selected low productivity jobs, and you look at change in wages. Just look at the very far right. The average weekly wage, first of all, you can look at the column right before that, and you're going to see how crazy average weekly wage, making $400 a week. That's $20,000 a year, right? So you're looking at some of these people that are making massive amounts of, they're putting in lots of months of their time, 40 hours a week, and they're making $20,000 a year. Or then you have administrative waste services, that's that would be like $35,000 a year. Educational services, maybe $45,000 a year. retail trade goes back down again to 35,000, 30,000 a year. And healthcare, that one was going to be up at like more into the 50,000 or 60,000, 50,000 a year, healthcare and social services. But again, looking at the 1990 compared to 2017, where the growth is, and then look at the wage increases over, this is what marveled me, from the average weekly wage of 2017, and look at what the change in wages has been from 1990 to 2017, over 27 years. Okay, so some of these industries, like the first one, accommodation food services, increased 1% a year. Now, we know the cost of living goes up much larger than that, like 3 to 5 to 7% on an annual basis, and all of a sudden your salaries, your income is 1% a year. Same with administrative and waste service, that's about 1.5%. The educational services, less than 1%. Look at retail trade. There's your retail stores. You wonder why they're all shuttering and going out of business. We're really not losing jobs that are really, I mean, they might be paying for your home and you might be bringing that income in that's so necessary, but the idea of what that wage level is ridiculously low. The average wage increase at retail trade went up less than 0.3% per annum over the last 27 years. Crazy. And healthcare and social assistance services, that went up less than 0.5% on an annual basis. So crazy, crazy, crazy stuff that we see. And then you look at the high productivity jobs, again, manufacturing, finance, wholesale, and you're going to see the differentiation in how much they make, average weekly wage, in addition to change in wages being, you know, 2% a year or, you know, 3% a year, something in that realm versus 0.5% or 0.3%, all the things in the. So you see our distinction, dramatic distinction in our economy with these different categories of jobs. Okay, number five is productivity, where it's low. And we talk about building services like janitors and gardeners employed nearly 35,000 in 2017. Healthcare accounted for 245,000, restaurants 136,000, and the biggest single employer in the Phoenix area is Banner Health, which has about 50,000 workers, includes hospitals, outpatients, all this kind of stuff. And these are all the lowest productivity levels compared to the highest that we saw in the semiconductor in that area. Home health aide makes about 24,000, while a nursing assistant makes 31,000 a year. And these are killer wages when you talk about, you know, subsistence living. I mean, it just doesn't give you much free dollars. This is why people are saying across the board we have 55% of our population that, you know, can't make ends meet. And, you know, I said that to somebody the other day. It was really kind of, I just made the comment about it, and this person snapped at me and goes, well, that's because they're buying things they can't really afford to buy. And I was like, wow, what judgment we have around lower income people in this country. It was really sad. It saddened my heart that people would just snap like that. But I was like, it's where we are today in our country. You know, it's like, it's almost heartless to me, but it's just a different approach and a different look at what we have to offer. And this is a, this is a crisis. And the comparison, the 58 most productive industries from 210,000 to $30 million per worker. Now imagine that, $30 million per worker. There's industries where that per worker produces $30 million. That's unbelievable. Employed only 162,000 people in 2017, 14,000 more than in 2010. So up about 8% in 7 years. And that's the most productive. So you're comparing the least productive with the most productive in our society. And it tops out, the employment in the 58 industries with the lowest productivity tops off at $65,000 per worker. That's the highest amount of income made in the lowest productive industries. And that employment in those industries, the lowest productivity industry, actually grew 10 times as much over the period. So that's huge. So we're seeing a huge drift of personnel into the lowest productivity marketplace, which is the lowest level of wages. But again, this was just a study of the Phoenix area, and they applied it. It applies across the entire U.S. economy. We see the same trends happening. It just statistically, he took this data out of the Phoenix area. And we see there just are a huge shifting of people into lower productivity, lower paid jobs from the high productive industries, which is where a lot of the displacement in robots are coming. He talked about the Luddites of the 19th century, and you can look this up. It's kind of a cute story. In the 19th century, the Luddites, they famously thrashed the weaving machines because they were taking their jobs. They used to weave by hand, and then the weaving machines came out, and the Luddites destroyed them. This is in the 1800s. And, you know, the article was kind of led and said, maybe they had this right. You know, they're being displaced. And so the theory that by reducing prices, improving quality, technology was expected to raise demand, which would require more jobs. That was a good economic theory. Reducing prices, improving quality, technology was expected to raise demand, which would require more jobs. But what kind of jobs was it demanding? I thought that these more productive workers would have higher incomes. This would create more demand for new, unheard of things that somebody would have to make. This is exactly what transpired in the Industrial Revolution. You know, we can go back and look at history and say, well, why aren't we repeating ourselves like the Industrial Revolution? Because the rural economy gave way to industrial economy, which just created better jobs, more income for everybody, and it turned out to be a gigantic boom. But, of course, they didn't back then have the idea of robotics and automation and everything else so that the high-end, high-productivity people were going to be so limited in numbers compared to the low-end economy that still had to support the basic underlying services that we saw on the low-productivity scale. So in the 1900s, you can say, in studying the Industrial Revolution, you can say agriculture employed 12 million people. By 2014, tractors, combines, and other equipment had flushed 10 million out of the sector. 10 million people moved in the last 114 years out of the agricultural sector because of advancements in technology. And as farm labor dropped, the industrial economy kept adding jobs. Farm products prices dropped, increasing demand, and farmers made more money, so they bought more industrial products. This was all part of that Industrial Revolution, as we can see. The new industries were highly productive and also subject to furious technological advances, you know. So we saw other things that were losing. Weavers lost their jobs to automated looms. Secretaries lost their jobs to Microsoft Windows. We've seen that happen over the last 20 years. But each new spin of the technological wheel, from plastic toys to televisions to computers, yield higher incomes for workers and more sophisticated products and services for them to buy, right? So we see all these new advanced technology. We are all participating in them. We all have iPhones. We have computers. We can't go anywhere without technology today. But, again, comparing the Industrial Revolution to what's happening today, it's totally different. Our current technological revolution is totally different. Dr. Otter of MIT found that over in the past 40 years, jobs have fallen in every single industry that introduced technologies to enhance productivity. So we lost massive jobs everywhere new technology came out. And the only reason that employment didn't fall across the entire economy is that other less productive growth industries picked up the slack. But the problem with that is less productivity, which means less lower wages. So our huge challenge that we're dealing with today as an economy, if you've absorbed this that I've been talking about, is the challenge that the quality of jobs available to low and medium skill workers, that's the challenge we have in our current economy. And we at Manitech, understanding this economic change and how the Industrial Revolution compares to what we're going through today, that we really aren't like the Industrial Revolution because of the sense of automation and, you know, artificial intelligence and all the things that we're doing without need of employment. You're seeing a dramatic fall off of people being able to better themselves in our local economy today. So what does that mean for us? That's the problem that we're looking at, and that's something we have to look at going forward in our economy. And another reason why, when you get involved with people and talk to them about what they're doing and what their money they're making and the idea of, you know, why not doing like network marketing part-time, taking on a secondary job that's as flexible as network marketing is. It's why you also see all this other alternative employment, like people going out and doing Airbnb or Lyft or Uber, all these gig economy type jobs that people are picking up because they have to. It's a subsidization. Some people, are doing this full-time, but a lot of the people doing all these little gig economy jobs are doing it part-time to subsidize the income they have because they fall in those lower productivity jobs that aren't subject to automation, so they're not risk of losing them, but the problem is they're never going to pay much income. So Manatech as an alternative for these people is just incredibly crucial for us to be out there and be talking about what's going on in our economy and why Manatech presents such an answer to prayer for people, because we have all this shift going on in our economy and low productivity jobs, in other words, jobs that pay that don't spin off the kind of, you know, income in terms of productivity to justify higher wages, are always going to be present in our economy, and thus we need to find some way of subsidizing that. And I think network marketing can play a phenomenal role, if not subsidizing for a temporary period of time, might even be able to displace it so that you can get to a level where you're actually making the kind of income that some of these people are at the highly productive jobs, right? And So I just want everybody to be aware of that. I hope this helps you guys with a little education about what we're seeing in our economy today and understanding it and the shift that's going on and why it's not comparable to the Industrial Revolution. It's something totally different that's happening. A lot of it's based on because our advancements of displacing workers with robots and artificial intelligence and all that is hugely different from what we saw in the 1920s. So it's just a different arena, and we still have great demand for hospital workers and you know, people at food service and all these categories of jobs that are still out there, whether it's educational services, retail trade, that are irreplaceable at this juncture in many ways, although there are coming up with creative ways of doing that as well. But right now, that's where we're seeing where the employment is, which is, again, low productivity, i.e. low pay. So let's go out there and displace that. At least in the interim, we can add to it in terms of income and then eventually look at displacement so that they can really enjoy the income they feel they're worthy of. All right, that's it, people. Any questions about what's happening in our workforce, tech splitting our workforce in two, and how this can help you with going out and doing your Manatech business? Anyone? Okay, everyone, have a great week. I'll be out and about again, heading out tomorrow to go to do another speech in Miami, so I'm having a blast doing all that. And don't forget to be on Tuesday Night Live to hear about Costa Rica. I'm excited about all of you being in Costa Rica with me next year in February, so let's make it happen. And then, again, work on Manifest to get as many people as you can, you know, on your team to Manifest, because that's what's really going to excite everybody. All right, everyone. Love you guys. Have a great week. Talk soon. Bye.